think that last week we mentioned the difference between the choice of Noach from his generation, Ke'ilu, and the choice of Avraham in Lech Lecha. Noach was never asked to be Pirish from his Tzibur. He was Motzachen, v'Noach Motzachen. Noach was Motzachen. He showed that you can be a good person within the community which had become such a terrible, terrible disaster. So he was memale his tafkid, not by being poilish from that community, but by being good within a community. And mele we saw how the same water which destroyed his b'nei doiroi, they saved him. The water lifted up the teva. It lifted him above the earth. You could be a decent person even in a difficult community. Avraham is different. There it's lech lecho me'atzecho o mimoladetecho o mibeis avicha. That Avraham had to be poirish. That's a completely different mahalach. Avraham is qualitatively different from everybody else in the world and had to be poirish from them. Perhaps it's min ha-shamayim. Somebody just told me a meiser. I'm not such a groisa boki in Hasidic stories, and I can't guarantee for the truth of this story, but it's a beautiful, beautiful story, and I think very much nageya to what we're discussing over here in Lech Lecha. I said it over from the Rav Naftali Ropschitzer when he was still a youngster and was going to Cheder. So he was a kid and he came home from Cheder. So his father asked him, "Nu, what did you learn in Cheder today?" So told him, "Yichan Yisrael neged ha-ha," that Yisrael camped across from the mountain. "Yichan Yisrael neged ha-ha." So he asked him, "Nu, so how did the Rebbe touch it?" So the kid asked him, "Do you want to hear how the Rebbe touched it, or do you want to hear how I touched it?" This is how I heard the Nusach. So father said, "Mr. Manu, let's hear what the Rebbe said, and then we'll hear what you said." So what did the Rebbe say? So the Rebbe said, and the Yidden camped opposite the mountain. "V'yichan Yisrael neged ha-ha." And so I said, "No, what did you say?" Said, "I said, and the Yidden camped with their backs to the world." It's a meiradike thought. No wonder he became Rav Naftali Ropschitzer. This concept that there is such a thing as with our backs to the world. It's just, mimele you can face the neged ha-ha. But the koveya is that your backs are to the world. It's a world of different, the world in which Avraham came into was apparently a completely different world. He had to turn his back to what had been before and create a new whole set of circumstances, a new family, a new mahalach in living. That's a, I think, very, very, very sort of stellt er weg, this lech lecho, me'atzecho, me'ladecho, me'savicho. It's going to be different. You're going to be a completely different person, and your eretz and your maledet and your mishpacha will have nothing, no input in what you're going to be. I am going to be. From now on, you have no insurance. Your only insurance is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So the emes is, I've always sort of had a problem and with Lech Lecha. I never quite understood what's happening. I think that as I was thinking it through again this week, and I think that I understand it better now. Tell you what my problem is. My problem is that here we have Avraham parting from Atzachom, Meladchom, Vesavichom, starting the mahalach of a different way of living. There's a different way of being a person. There's a different way of being a nation. This is all new. That is what you're going to do. And what happens? So they go to Mitzrayim because of the Rav. Yeah, and what does Avraham say to Sarah? Yeah, Imrinu achoysiat leman yitav li ba'avurech. Oh, Rashi says, yitnu li matonis. This is a magnetic opportunity, right? You'll say that you're my sister, and perhaps he's going to take you, and they're going to give me a lot of matanas. It's just going to be great. I'm going to get rich. And that's what happened. What does it say over there? Vayugo oiso sore faro, vayahalelu oiso el paro, vatukacho isho beis paro. Ul Avram heitiv bavura. L'man yitav li bavurech. It came true. Ul Avram heitiv bavura. Vahila tsoin, uvoka, vahamarim, vahavodim, vashufachos, vahasanos, ugumalim. Ah, amachaya. And then later on, the story ends, and the Pharaoh realizes what happened, and so on and so forth. So they leave Mitzrayim. Avram koveit me'od b'mikne b'kesef u'v'zohav. What is going on over here? But we've got over here Avram ki'ilu turning his back, like the Rabshitzer said, that he was turning his back to the world, and he was going to propagate a different sense of values, a sense of values which is going to be totally, totally different than had anything been in the past. This was going to be all new. This is going to be the Ribbono Shel Olam's, it's going to be Yidden. And what happens with our Yidden? L'man Yitav Li Ba'avurech, Kesev Zohav, Asainas. Who needs these Asainas? What's going on over here? And that is, I never really knew how to handle it. And the emes is that, you know, I always had a little problem with, you know, we have Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We have our Ovos. Ein Korim Ovos, Ela Shloisha. This was a new beginning. I can't hear from Avraham, or from Yitzhak, or from Yaakov, how I'm supposed to live. We always only hear, I mean, the Torah can't, I mean, the Rabbanim knew what to put in the Torah. Let's take the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim gave us the Chofetz Chaim, gave us the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. That's what Meirdik has said. But how is he mashpia on us? Why is he alive in our minds? Because of dozens and dozens of stories we hear about the Chofetz Chaim, his tzidkus, how he lived, his modesty, his histapkus bemuad, his goodness, his kindness, the million stories you have about the Chazon Ish. These people are mashpia on us because besides the enormous gifts that they gave us, the Chofetz Chaim, the Sefer Chazon Ish, whatever it is, right? But we knew them also, not necessarily personally, but through the stories and through everything else. We observe them living, and since we observe them living, we have a shtickel musak of the kind of people who they were, and that is hopefully mashpia on us to try to emulate a little bit their greatness. But by the others, we don't have that. You have the big maises, you have an Akedah, you have, we all know what's going on in Chumash. But what happened every day in Avraham's home? How did he live? What did he do? We don't have a picture. There aren't any maises about Avraham, which the Torah tells us. And in order to be mushpa from Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, to try and learn from their greatness, to try to make it somehow shayach to us, I don't exactly know. I didn't exactly know how to deal with that. And that's a shtickel kashish I wanted to be ma'orah, that this Lech Lecho is telling me two things. One, it's telling me the Rabshitzer's word, keep your back to the world, and the next minute, the first thing is barely in Eretz Yisrael, and he's already leaving because of the Rav, and wants amatonas, and with donkeys, and with this is Avraham Avinu. What's going on with him? That's the problem which I had to some extent. So the answer, of course, I think is that the Torah does tell us. The Torah really does tell us, I think, And you know where it tells us? I don't think it tells us about Avraham's household in the Parshias dealing with Avraham. I think that we get a glimpse of what life must have been like, the daily life, not when Malachim come to visit, but the daily life, the daily, everyday life of Avraham, how that was lived. We do get a glimpse. And that glimpse, I think, is Vayinochem Yitzchak Achalei Soro Imo, that when Yitzchak brought Rivka home, he was comforted from the loss of Sarah, his mother, and we all know the Chazal, that as long as Sarah was alive, it was an onon kosher al ha'oyel, and there was a brocha metzuya be'isa, and there was a ne'er doylik me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, and that had disappeared when Sarah had died, and now when Rivka came back to the home, it came in again. That's the Chazal which we all know. What exactly is being said over here? What is this nekuda of the onan kosher on the oyel? That's obviously, don't know whether that was an onan that was visible to other people, but that's really what it means. That this is extraterritorial. This was the Ribbono Shel Olam's embassy in foreign territory. This was a bias which the Ribbono Shel Olam claimed as his own. That's what the onan kosher al ha'oyel means, I guess. This is different. This is not like anything that's going on around it. Although there's so many boker and tzon and chamorim and avodim and shvachos v'asonos, it's different, radically and absolutely different. Now, in what way was it different? It was different that it was brocha metzuya be'isa, and the ne'er doylek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. What is the significance of that? What is the significance of the, I don't exactly know what brocha metzuya be'isa means, but I imagine what it means is that there was always bread. There's always, they ate and had, and I guess they had a lot of visitors. With the Chazal tell us they had the doors on all the four sides. People came in and they ate and ate, and it never became less. It was always there. There was always there and there and there and there. It wasn't chosam. And that's the same thing that ne'er doylek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. Normally, to have a ne'er doylek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, how can it burn so long? The answer is, again, it was just like there was a brocha metzuyo be'isa, there was also a brocha ki'ilu metzuyo b'ne'er, that me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, it burnt. What is the significance of that? What is the significance that the dough never became less, or that the light never became less? Obviously, it reminds us a little bit of Hanukkah, right? That the menorah burned the full 8 days. It's a me'en of that. The interesting thing I heard once from Rav Hutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, is one of the shmuzen that I, or the ma'amorim, which I heard myself, was very well. It was a beautiful experience to be able to be there. So he was talking about Hanukkah. It was a Hanukkah time. So he explained what this idea is that the oil wasn't chosa, because he was what he dealt with was not so much the shemen of the menorah, but the shemen hamishra. The old Chazal also said that they used the shemen hamishra to anoint, and that it also never became chosa. So he explained by the shemen hamishra what the theory is. So very, very briefly, what he said was that something that fulfills its tafkid does not get less because of the tafkid. Forget, this is what you're here for. So if this is what you're here for, so that's not mechasa you. Let's say I have dollars. So I have them. So what do dollars do? I can buy things with them, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. And now somebody comes to the door and needs some help. So if I'm a good person, I'll take some of my dollars and I'll give them to him. Now I have fewer dollars than I had before. Because be'etzem, at least the way I look at the dollars, is that the dollars are there for me. I'm supposed to be a decent human being, so I'll share it with somebody else. But obviously when I share it with somebody else, it's going to become less for me. What if its whole tachlis is for somebody else? If that is why I have these dollars, if that is why I have this thing, it's not for me. It's only to be mashpia. So if it's only to be mashpia, then the hashpah is not mechasa. Hutner explained that the idea of shemen, shmona, is the eight days of Chanukah, eight. So eight is, don't know much about these things, but apparently eight is used as a mispil, which is lemaila min ha-teva. It's something which doesn't really belong into this world. That is something to talk about, Shmini Atzeres and similar sugyas. So if it doesn't belong here, why is it here? That was the theory over here. If it doesn't belong here, why is it here? Why is it here? What's it doing over here? The Torah says, if it doesn't belong here, so then there must only be one reason why it's here. It's not here for itself, because its misgeret is not here. So why is it here? Answer is, to be mashpir. To be mashpir, then the hashpah is not mechaseret. That was the theory, that if you are in a place where you don't belong, if you are in a place where you don't belong, so why are you there? The answer is, you're there in order to be mashpir. That's the only reason why you're there. If you're only there in order to be mashpir, so then the hashpo is not mechaseyu. And that is why by the Shemen HaMishcha, the Shemen didn't become less. They were moshech this and this and this and this and this. They anointed people, they anointed kelim, they anointed whatever they had to anoint, and it was always the same amount of shemen, because that is what it is. Its whole presence in our world is only in order to transfer kedusha to things. So that's the klal. So I think that the pshat in that chazal, that the ner was doilek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, and the Brocha was Mitzuyo Be'isa, that means in that house, which the Ribbono Shel'Olam identified as being extraterritorial by putting his onan over it, the property which they had was not there for themselves. I think that is the answer to my question. Avraham Avinu wanted that they should give him matanas. He wanted everything that he could get out of Pharaoh. I mean, I think that's sort of generally understood, that what's really happening over here, I mean, essentially you have a kasha within Lech Lecho, that from the Melech Sdoim, Avraham said, I'm not going to let you say Ani Heshati as Avraham. And by Mitzrayim, Fakeh, Leman Yitav Liba Avurech, and he gets Kesev and Zov, Kovet, Me'od, he can't get enough. Why is it? Why is it that from Sodom he was not willing to take, but from Mitzrayim he was willing to take? So it may be the Maral, I don't know. But that's how I sort of grew up with this concept, that Avraham in Mitzrayim was the Ma'ase Ovay Simen Lebonim of the Bizas Mitzrayim. It was the Ma'ase Ovay Simen Lebonim of the Bizas Mitzrayim. And that was a very, very big issue in Mitzrayim, in Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Daber no be'oznei ha'om," so that Avraham shouldn't have tainus that va'avodim ve'inu oisam kiyam bohem, and this was not kiyam bohem. What's the issue? Why? Nacham ol Avraham, why to looking for wealth? He wanted it in Mitzrayim, and now he's going to have time. His Mayidin are going out of Mitzrayim. Where's the Chush Godal? Where's all the money that they should be getting? What's the pshat in all this? The Teretz is that is really the answer. This Chazal, which tells us of the Brocha Mitzuyu Be'issa and the Ner Doilek Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos, I think that what Chazal are teaching us is that the choice of Avraham, the turning his back towards the world, I think that is the yesod. That is a very, very, very yesodistic thing in Judaism, vis-à-vis the Ummus Ha'olam. It goes to the core of what it's all about, and I'll show you in a moment how coarsome this is, how very, very central this is to the whole story and the whole history of Klal Yisrael. That it's shayach to live in this world. It's not our world. It's the Goyim's world. That's Yaakov made a deal with Esav, and all the tzoros which we have. He gets olam hazeh. Esav gets olam hazeh. We get olam habo. So now in olam hazeh we're strangers. We don't belong here. Be'etzem. We don't belong here. We're like the Shemen HaMishcha, the Shemen, the Shmoina. We're only here. What did Avraham do? Vayikov b'shem Hashem. We're here to be mashpia. And where is the Ikar HaShpoh? It could very well be that the Ikar HaShpoh is in how to deal with money, how to deal with wealth, how to deal with all these things. It's a Moir de Gezaf. We've paid very, very much. We've paid very, very much to be different, to turn our backs on society. That's our mahus. This is unbelievable Chazal. In Vayishla, we're not quite holding by that yet, but was steht dort in the Chazal, that when Esav at the end, after the meeting with Yaakov, finally when Yaakov was coming back to Eretz Yisrael, so Esav said, "Atziganor min ha'anoshe mashayiti, let's be friends, let's travel together, we'll be friends, we'll do everything together." So Chazal, this is the Medrash Rabbe in Vayishlach. So it says over there, what did Yaakov answer? Ya'avono Adoni lifnei avdo. He said, "Oh, let's not travel together. You go ahead and I'll follow, but better not travel together." Omalei, so Esav said to Yaakov, "Mevakesh ad shenehei shutev imcho ba'olamcha. Maybe you'll give me, you remember in the womb, you took the whole of Olam Habo, I took the Olam Hazeh." Yeah? So I think that they say in this Medrash that he saw now that Yaakov was, for somebody who was a stranger, he had three machanos, he was also, he had a lot, he got a lot of sheep and things from Laban. So Esav said, "Weißt du," he said, "even as a stranger you can have a ganz choshev Olam Hazeh." So I didn't have to give up the whole of Olam Habo in order to get Olam Hazeh. So let's make a new chalukah, let's renegotiate, and instead of my taking the whole Olam Hazeh and you taking the Olam Habo, let's go half-half in both, and it'll be much better. Yeah. Omale yavono adoni lifnei after. No, that's not. Omale, so Esav said to him, "Ve'ein ato misyore miduchsei o min afachui o min istratili," whoever they are. He said, "Aren't you afraid? You're a stranger in this world. Wouldn't it be much better for you to be a partner in this world? Wouldn't it be much better to be a partner in this world? Not to have to be afraid from the pogroms and from the tzoras and from the holocausts. Why is all this happening to you? All this is happening to you because you don't belong in this world. You're a stranger. And people hate strangers. And that's why they're afraid of you. And that's why they're doing all these terrible things to you. Aren't you afraid of that? Look, with one signature, you can change all that. You'll become an equal shutev in Olam Hazeh, and nobody's going to burn you at the stake, and nobody's going to do anything to you." That was Esau's persuasion of Yaakov. Omalei, ve'ena tomis yorev, from all these people. Omalei, v'ani esna lo le'iti, lehoni, lehoni, ani mehalach, and so on and so forth. "Lord, I'll go slow. L'regel ha'yelodim. I can't be an ezrach in Olam Hazeh. My children, what's going to happen to them? It's bad enough the way we are now that we're strangers. There's so many nisyonos and so many things that are beckoning. Yeah, I can't afford my children. I can't be mechanech my children as b'nei Olam Hazeh. Hopefully I can be mechanech my children as b'nei Olam Habo, who are strangers over here. I can be mechanech them that they should function as strangers within this world." So it goes very, very deeply. So what I'm saying is that this Chazal by Rivka tells us a little bit what happened with all that wealth which Avraham had. What happened with that wealth was that it was a wealth to be mashpia, not for himself. That's why it wasn't choser. He bought oil, and the oil stayed there the whole time. Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. If you remember, in past shiurim mentioned sometimes this Chovas Halvovas. So the Chovas Halvovas talks about the mistakes which people make about their money management. One of the things he says is that everybody's money is divided into three parts, that the Rebbein Shem gives him a certain amount for his own panosa, a certain amount for his family's panosa, and a certain amount, he calls it teref kinyan, you don't need it, and the Rebbein Shem only gave it to you to do mitzvahs with it. It's not yours. Like, why is it? Like, what's going on over here? Is that true by Goyim also, that they have to make a cheshbon every time that they spend something, they want to go and buy a piece of furniture or something, they have to say, just a moment, the money I'm spending, that is that really for me? That's what the Chavis of Avos says, it may not be for you. It may be, like he says, it may be that you're keeping it for your wife's next husband. It's not for you. You're the shomer on it. So don't spend it. How am I supposed to know? The Teretz says, remember that you're a stranger in this world. You're a stranger in this world. So it's not yours. Anything that you have in this world is not yours just to spend it. It's yours for a purpose. If the necessary purposes, your panosa and your family's panosa, have been taken care of, you must assume that what's left after that is not there for your use. But the Rabbi Yisrael is interested after that you should have this and that, and maybe not. Maybe the Rabbi Yisrael gave it to you as a shomer to do things with it, which are important to do. That's mamish, that's your side. That's mamish what we're talking about. And that is what happened in Avraham's home. We can assume that if Sarah's dress became old or torn or something, and she wanted to buy a new dress, and she'd come to Avraham and said, let's discuss, should I buy a new dress? So maybe Avraham said, do we really have the right to spend money? We're billionaires. Good, but it's not our money. It's the Teref Kenyan. We've got plenty for our panosa, plenty for the panosa of Anshe Besa, but we don't have necessarily the reshus to spend it on other things like that. This is a very, very yesoidistic kind of thing. And I'll tell you how I know it's so yesoidistic. I'll tell you, I'm saying this here. This is the morning, on Wednesday morning, the day after the election. And for some reason, my mind travels to Melchemes Gog Umagog. You know, we all feel that we're living in a time, the concept of Mashiach is in the air. Everybody is talking about it. Who knows what's going to happen, or what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants from us or for us. But my machshava traveled to Melchemes Gog Umagog. And in the Pasha in Yecheskel, in Melchemes Gog Umagog, there's a zach that always bothered me. What is Melchemes Gog Umagog? That Gog Melech Magog is going to gather all the nations of the world and Chalila come and fight against Eretz Yisrael. So, we know from the second paragraph of Tehillim, Loma Rokshu Goyim Ul Umim Yeh Gurik Yis Yatsu Malche Eretz V'Rosnim Nos Diyochad Al Hashem V'Al Meshichay. They're going to fight the Ribbono Shel. This is going to be the final showdown. And the end of that is going to be, we all know, the end of this Perek in Yecheskel. So you have Iskadilti, Iskadishti, V'noidati, Le'ene, Goyim, Rabim, V'yoduki, and Yashem, when I finally smash Gog and Magog, so the whole world will know Iskadilti, Iskadishti. That's going to be it. It's Al Hashem V'Al Mashiach. Gog is coming, L'Shem Shamayim, meaning, I'm going to crush Hashem and Mashiach. It's a fight against the Ribbono Shel. Incidentally, Pesach Shavuot says that we lain Melchemes Gog Umagog on Sukkos, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, so why do we lain dafka this Haftarah? So he says because that's what Gog is. Gog is Loshen Gag. He fights against the Sukkah, the Diras Arai of the Sukkah. He doesn't want that we should be open to the Ribbono Shel. He wants a Gog separating us from the Ribbono Shel. That's what we're talking about. In a sukkah, you live a diras arai. What you have to be mashpia. Gog is Mr. Gog. No, I want to drive the Ribbono Shel out of this world. This is a physical world, and he has no business to be in a physical world. And the last thing I want is schach on my house. I want a very, very firm roof. That's what's going on. So, it's very interesting because this Pasha is anyway very interesting of how it describes Eretz Yisrael in those times. But there is a Nakuda over here, and very quickly I'll try and make clear what's bothering me. So the Rabbeinu Shem says, I'm going to schlep Gog, Nosati Chachim Bilchoyecho, I'm going to put like hooks into your cheek, and whether you want to or not, I'm going to drag you to this terrible Milchoma. Miyomim rabim tipokei b'acharis ha-shonim Tovoh el eretz meshovemes mecheref. You're going to come against this land which has only recently been at rest from the sword. Mekubetzes me'amim rabim. We've talked about this before. How b'diyuk, 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 b'diyuk. It's describing Eretz Yisrael today. Ashahoyu l'chorbo tomet, which until we came back, it was always chorov. Nobody was able to settle Eretz Yisrael. V'hi me'amim hutzo'o. And her uchlusya, the people who live there, they came from 55 different nations. This is our Eretz Yisrael again. Eretz meshoreves mecherev, mekubetzes me'amim rabim, al horei Yisrael asher hoyu lechorbo tomid, v'hi me'amim hutzeis, v'yoshvu lo retach kula, v'oliso kashavu tova, like a tsunami, ve'onan lechasa sa'oretz tiyo ato v'chol ha'kapecha v'amim rabim ito. Oh, that's Gog and Magog coming to crush Eretz Yisrael. Oh, that's, we understand. Al Hashem v'al Mashiach. Gog and Magog is going to come to smash the Ribbono Shel Olam Kiviyochel and Eretz Yisrael. We're going to get rid of these Jews once and for all. But that I understand. Then goes on. Koyama Hashem Elokim. V'hoyo v'yoyim ahu. Yalu devorim al levovecha. On that day, you're going to start thinking. This seems to be a new stage. That's not what I'm bringing you there for, Kilo. But you're going to start thinking. What are you going to think? This is an easy hit. Yeah, it's an Eretz Porozos. There's no natural guarding. Over Hashoketim, Yoshe lo betach kulam. Yoshvim be'en chaymo briachud lasaim ein lohem. It's a very open place. You know what I'll do? Lishlol sholol belovos baz. Lehoshiv yotcho al chorovos no shavos vel amme usof migoyim. Osem mikno v'kinyon Yoshvim al tabuho oretz. I'm going to take their wealth. Lishlol sholol belovos baz. Lehoshiv yotcho al chorovos no shavos vel amme usof migoyim. What's going on over here? You're not supposed to be interested in the money over here. You're supposed to be interested in smashing the Ribbono Shel Olam, al Hashem v'al Mashiach. What do you want with their money? Rashi is very, very interesting. He says, L'hoshiv yotcha al chorovos meshovos. Yeah, you're going to come to smash these newly inhabited cities. So Rashi, L'hashchis sheinis es heorim. Shehoyu chovos adheno va'achshav nisyashvu. Yeah, so you want to destroy them again. You can't take it. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be chorev, and now these Jews came and were miyashavit. I'm going to smash it. I'm going to make it chorev again. He's not interested in building up Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is also extraterritorial. That's what the Torah says later on in Ekev. Like Eretz Mitzrayim here, im tashamayim tishkim. And that's what the Ramban says over there, if you remember. That it's not like in Mitzrayim, you go to the Nile, you always have plenty of water. Here you need the Ribbono Shel Olam, you need rain, 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 rain. That's what Eretz Yisrael is. It's also ex-territorial. L'man yiv yimechem alo adom asher nishba Hashem l'oseis lachem kimei ha-shamayim alo oretz. Eretz Yisrael only lives by rain. Kimei ha-shamayim alo oretz. That is Eretz Yisrael. That is why Eretz Yisrael is extraterritorial. It needs the Ribbono Shel Olam. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He's going to take the Sholer and the Vaz. He doesn't want that there should be a people who have plenty of money, but who have it not in a Goig kind of way, but in a Sukkah kind of way. That they have it with their backs to the world. Whose wealth they perceive as a terror of Kenyan, the way the Chavis Havos explains it. That they see it not as something in which to indulge and to go and buy things, whatever we want, but that for care, it's given to us only for a purpose, to be mashpia. And if we do it right, itaka won't be chosa when we are mashpia. That guy can't take, he can't take that. He wants to smash the Neshovas. The rebuilt cities. These are cities which he can't relate. He wants cities that function at the level of his cities. So he's going to smash these cities, not because he wants to rebuild and not because he wants to settle Eretz Yisrael. He can't take it. He can't take that there should be Yidden in Eretz Yisrael and living a life the way it's supposed to be lived. So really, that kashi with which I started off in Lech Lecha, isn't there a contradiction between the Lech Lecha, Me'atzecha, Me'moladetcha, Me'besavicha, and all the money, Nochamol money, Matonos, everything, Kovet Ma'oy, the Kesef of a Zohar, well, our Yidden need Kesef and Zohar, but what's going on over here? The talents is, that's all, that is who we are. We are a people who can handle wealth, because we know that not all the wealth in our banking account is ours. It's given to us to be mashpia. We are the shem and mishra of the world if we do it right. Those are the inyonim of the bechira of Klal Yisrael, which we can understand a little bit from our current pasha, Lech Lecha.